Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Oh God, during this sometimes busy Advent season, as we watch and wait, we pray that you would quiet all our hearts and souls and listen for angels' wings. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts might bring you joy. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The waiting is almost over. The Christmas pageant and the Messiah concert have all been rehearsed. Our longest night service was a beautiful way to pause in the midst of what can sometimes feel like an overwhelming season. Friday morning, there were dozens of small kiddos filling our sanctuary, literally bouncing up and down with joy and enthusiasm. And I ran into one of you, volunteering in our office, who greeted me with a similar level of enthusiasm and excitement. They're not the bouncing up and down. "I'm so excited you're preaching on Joseph." She'd seen the e-gram. "Finally, my husband and I were just talking about why we never hear about him." Right, just every 3 years, I acknowledged, or in the Christmas pageant. "He's not even in a lot of nativity scenes." I mentally scanned all my crushes at home to think if there was a Joseph. I just take out one of the shepherds and I put him in place next to Mary. "I love that," I said. And it got me thinking, where do we put ourselves in the manger? What part do we play in God's story? Now, the birthday of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way in 2025. It may have begun with lighting the Advent candles of hope and peace, but there's been unbearable grief mounting over the last 2 weeks. To say nothing of human history over the last 2 millennia since Jesus' birth. Brown, Bondi Beach, Sydney, Syria, across the river, weaponizing Medicaid through the trans youth ban, threatening to deprive so many of their health care, to say nothing of ACA premiums doubling when so many are already struggling to make ends meet. How will history be written about this moment in time? How can God use us to enact our human story, to create more justice and peace in the world? Do we see ourselves at the manger honoring and following this Messiah? Can we put ourselves there like one of you does, adding a stand-in for Joseph? Matthew's account of Jesus' birth is different from Luke's. If you're missing the shepherds and the star in the manger, be sure to come back for our Christmas Eve children's pageant at 4:30. Here in Matthew's gospel, as the children know well, apparently, the angel appears to Joseph, not Mary. Daniel Harrell describes this scene bluntly. The Christmas story includes a very sordid tale of an engaged young woman who is apparently cheating on her fiancé. She's carrying somebody else's baby. She says God did it, which adds blasphemy to the infidelity. Ancient laws allowed that jilted Joseph stone Mary, but preferring to keep the scandal out of the papers, he decides to break it off quietly and save everybody any further embarrassment. Even if we can begin to imagine how surprised Mary was to learn that she would give birth to God's child, can we fathom how Joseph must have felt hearing that same news? I mean, you or I might want DNA evidence. But dreams in the ancient world held more sway and gravitas. So Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, meaning they moved in together, but had no marital relationships with her, meaning they skipped the honeymoon, until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus, meaning one who saves. Joseph's always struck me as a stand-up, quiet guy. He never speaks anywhere in the Bible. I've often wondered if the angel of the Lord pressed its divine feathered finger against Joseph's upper lip, the way Jewish folktales related to the Talmud describe angels doing with babies as they're born. That's how we get the indentation, known as the philtrum. According to legend, every human soul is taught all the wisdom of God's universe while in their mother's womb, including the entire Torah and all knowledge of past and future. But then it's forgotten at birth. In that moment, the angel whispers, the idea is that we humans spend the rest of our lives trying to remember all that is good and right. Joseph's interaction with this angel models both how simple and complicated our lives are. His situation seems fraught and overwhelming. God's solution via the angel is simple. Left to our own devices, we are messy and imperfect, but is perfection the goal in life? The Native American Navajos have a long tradition of weaving one clear imperfection into the pattern of their beautiful rugs. For them, like the ancient people among whom Jesus was born, perfection isn't the elimination of imperfection. Catholic priest Richard Rohr reflects that divine perfection is, in fact, the ability to recognize, forgive, and include imperfection, just as God does with all of us. Isn't that what the Christmas story is all about? The Holy Spirit moves through us, imperfect people, in often chaotic, fear-filled circumstances to bring about the perfection of Jesus' delivery into this world. Can we recognize that our own imperfections and shortcomings are woven into the very fabric of humanity, which even Christ embodied as Emmanuel? Across every age, even in what can feel like the darkest times, we have our place in God's story. As we live into Advent's hope and peace and joy and love. The poet bell hooks wrote that the practice of love is the most powerful antidote to the politics of domination. Jesus was born in such a time during an oppressive Roman occupation of his Jewish community. Against that world backdrop, a teenage girl said yes to God's plan. She wasn't a helpless pawn like so many women in the male patriarchy of her era. Mary could have said no, as could Joseph in his encounter with the angel. Then it took a whole community to enable Jesus' birth, from the grumbly folks at the inn who let the couple camp out in the stables, to the smelly animals who lent their body warmth and protection, to the shepherds who streamed in from the fields, to the foreigners who crossed the borders, the magi, with their gifts, following a miraculous but weirdly moving star, to the angels who appeared out of nowhere, trumpeting God's glory, being birthed here on earth. But it all hinged on Joseph saying yes to God's plan too. He commits to raising this baby as an adopted son of Mary's, knowing the baby's real dad is the Lord God, Yahweh, creator of the universe. It's God's Holy Spirit, not the carpenter's blood, coursing through baby Jesus. It's a pretty unexpected way to begin a family. But Joseph comes from a long line of unexpected, unorthodox, and some of them unseemly relatives, as we talked about last week, all laid out in Matthew's long genealogy, from the ancient patriarch Abraham down 42 generations to him, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. Time and time again throughout our scriptures, God calls and uses the most unlikely folks to bring leadership and reconciliation and love. Jesus was delivered by a teenager so that he might grow up to deliver us from our sins. God came to dwell among us. What more profound offering of love could you possibly imagine? And our response is to step up, to step in, like Joseph, and participate in God's long love story with all of us. Like Joseph, who not only keeps Mary from being stoned to death, he becomes her partner in birthing her baby. He doesn't earn any moral accolades for preventing Mary and her child from being killed, but he stands beside her, supporting her, protecting her during the birth of this child, this Messiah. Can we see ourselves in him, in his voluntary relationship with Jesus? Because it's ours, too. This Savior is descended by adoption, as are all of us. It takes a village, a community to raise and nurture a child or a disciple. We play that out in the Christmas pageant, where baby Jesus is surrounded by angels and shepherds, sheep and magi, Mary and, yes, Joseph, who jumps into adopted fatherhood with everything he has. He doesn't just drop off child support to Mary each month. He names the baby as God directs, not Jacob, after his own dad, but Jesus, the Greek form of Joshua, one who saves. I wonder if Joseph wondered what this Savior would save us from or for. So many of us here and now may struggle and wonder if we still need a Savior, when we are all so capable and hardworking and dedicated and faithful. Most of us are so blessed to have so many of our needs met: food, shelter, community. So we're able to ask questions like, what is life really about? What is my purpose? And that sense of yearning for meaning grows sharper when shots ring out, or bearing witness to human rights being stripped away right before our eyes. Can we believe and trust in this tiny baby that he could really save us from the evils of the world and from ourselves? God offered pure love in the form of new life. Emmanuel, coming to live with us so unexpectedly. And Joseph somehow remembered to do what was right rather than what was expected, giving all his love and care to Mary's baby, God's child. Anne Weems puts it powerfully in her poem, Unexpected. Even now, we simply do not expect to find a deity in the stable. Somehow, the setting is all wrong. The swaddling clothes too plain, the manger too common for the likes of a savior, the straw inelegant, the animals reeky and noisy, the whole scene too ordinary for our taste. And the cast of characters is no better. With the possible exception of the kings, who among them is fit for this night? The shepherds? Certainly too crude. The carpenter? Too rough. The girl? Too young. And the baby? Whoever expected a baby? Whoever expected the advent of God in a helpless child? Had the Messiah arrived in the blazing light of the glory of the legion of angels wielding golden swords, the whole world would have been conquered for Christ right then and there, and we here in the church, to say nothing of in the world, wouldn't have so much trouble today. Even now, we simply do not expect to face the world armed with love. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.